Today it shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And they that hear shall live. Look here with me in John's Gospel, chapter 3. I want to use John 3:16 as my text today. And this is our Lord Jesus Christ speaking. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know this football player that everybody gets in an uproar with because he puts John 3:16 under his eyes. But it has caused a lot of people to look at that verse, a lot of people to discuss it. But I want to talk about the true love of Christ today. The true love of Christ. And let me say this at the outset. There is nothing in nature, which illustrates Christ's love. Absolutely nothing. Any illustration you could think of falls far short of the love that Christ has. There's nothing in human history, no love story you can tell, that's ever been told, that can illustrate or exemplify the love that Christ has for His people. There's no experience that anybody can go through in this world that sets forth the love that Christ has for His people. I know that preachers have said, you know, that God can't be everywhere, so that's why He created mothers. But love is a very, very elusive thing. And true love, everybody talks about true love, my one true love. Well, I tell you this, we were Christ. We are Christ, one true love. God's people are. And there's nothing, I know you mothers love your children, nothing you wouldn't do for them. But that don't even come close to talking about the love that Christ has for His people. We love our wives. Oh, how we love them and don't want to lose them. But that don't even come close to talking about the love that Christ has for His people. Wives that love their husbands and hurt and grieve when they're gone, that doesn't come close. Don't even come close to talking about the love that Christ has for His people. Nothing in this world can come close to it. You know, and I guess the closest, the most honest, pure love in this world is the love that a mother has for her children. They do just about anything. You know, they'll wade into fire, jump into rivers. But let me show you this in Isaiah 49. That this falls so far short, Isaiah 49, that the love that a mother has for her own children falls so far short. Not even nothing in this world, nothing in history, nothing in nature can come close to illustrating, exemplifying the love that Christ has. Look what it says here in Isaiah 49 and verse 15. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee? I'll never forget you. Why won't you forget us, Lord? Because I've craven you upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls, everything about you, is continually around me. I've got to see everything there is about you. And how many times has that happened down through the centuries? And I know this about love. Multitudes upon multitudes, you could not possibly count the people that's been deceived by what they thought was love. Been deceived by it. They think, oh, I love this, and then I thought that loved me, and then the next thing you know, a year or two down the road, the love's gone. It's gone. But I know this also, that God has blessed an innumerable among a bunch of people on this earth that have been blessed to enjoy some love in this world. Some love from other people. And the love that God, if we love one another, if I love my children, if I love my wife, it's a gift of God. I'm telling you, our nature, now you listen to me, our nature is to love ourselves. Men are lovers of their own selves. And so if we've been blessed of God to love somebody and for somebody to love us, that is a blessing from God. That's a blessing from God. And all the peace and the assurance and the confidence that rest, that goes and rest that goes with loving and being loved. And there's been a lot of people hurt for the lack of it. A lot of children have been hurt because of the lack of a mother's love, of a father's love. A lot of people have been hurt. I remember a young woman told me one time, and it just hurt me so much. She said she had never been told that by anybody she was loved. That's sad, ain't it? My mother-in-law, she's been gone now, she'll be 12 years next month, 13 years next month. She would never, ever hang up the phone without saying, "I love you." Never. If she called you on the phone, she'd always hang up and say, "I love you." My grandsons, my two grandsons, every time they hang up, say, "Poppy, I love you." Every time. Now, that's a blessed thing to have that kind of love. It's a blessed thing, ain't it, James? But I tell you, it's more blessed if God enables you to love somebody more than you love yourself. But all of those things do not compare with the love that Christ has for us. And that's what he says there in verse 16. For God so loved. God so loved. God so loved. That's it right there. Floyd used to say the emphasis in John 3:16 is the word so. That it's inexpressible. You can't plumb it. You can't come to the depths of it. So God so loved. How much did he love? How can you express, how do you find out how much that he gave? He gave. He gave. What did he give? Who did he give? He gave his only begotten Son. Why did he give it? That whosoever. Now, if that would have said, if any Don that believes that, that may have included a lot of Dons and not included me. If you put somebody, but when it says whosoever, I'd say, I'm one of them fellas. I'm one of them whosoever's. That believeth. Believe what? On him. What's going to happen to them? They're going to have everlasting life. And guess what else? They'll never perish. Oh, we can't, you know, here's a love that can't be defined. This love of Christ. And why can't it? Because of who it is that loves us. And who it is that he loves. And why that he loves us. Now I want to say a few things about the love of God today. This true, glorious, blessed love. And this is the first thing I want to say about it. God's love that he expresses towards us is true, because it's eternal. He loved us before we ever existed. Before Adam was ever put on the face of the earth. This is how we can know how genuine, how true, how wonderful it is. Because he loved us before you and I ever had any existence. Is that not right? I'll show you that. You keep John and look over with me in Jeremiah. You got Isaiah. Then you have Jeremiah. Look in Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3 with me. You see, this God's love is eternal. Our love has a starting place. I can remember when my love, you know, Our love, there's a time that we fall in love. There's a time that our love begins. When a child's born, when we find out that we're going to have a child, that love starts then for that child. When we see somebody we want to marry, we fall in love with them. Our love has a starting place. It has a time that it comes into existence. But the love that God has for His people, it has no starting place. It has no place that God didn't fall in love with us. And look what He said here in Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, this is what God said to me, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. And since I loved you with this everlasting love, He says, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Now, if you look there in the margin, that drawn thee, that loving kindness says, have I extended loving kindness unto thee? I extended it unto you. When did God start loving me? When I was born? Before I ever was, I've loved you with an everlasting love. But God, who is rich in mercy, for the great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, quickened us together with Christ. And beloved, God's love and Christ's love towards us has no beginning and no ending. And bless His name for that. Since it didn't have to find anything in me, and it has no ending to it, that means, beloved, that I'll always, if God loved me from eternity, He'll love me all the way through eternity. Is that not right? And I'll tell you what, beloved, it was born, this love was born in the heart of God, in God's heart. And the consequences of His love toward us is that He gave. The consequences, the fruit of this love, the effects of this love is that He gave. He gave. What did He give? He gave the Son of His love. He gave His only blessed Son. The Son who delighted in Him from all eternity. The Son, beloved, that was in His bosom. And since God loved us with an everlasting love, nothing shall be able to ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Now you got John 3:16. Now look over in John 17:23. Let me show you about the love of God. How God expressed this love toward us. John 17. Look in verse 23. Look what our Lord Jesus Christ said here in John 7. Talking about God's love expressed. Because it's eternal. That's why it's so true. That's why it's so genuine. Christ's true love. I in them and thou in me. That they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me. Now watch this. And hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Now how long do you reckon God loved His Son? How much do you reckon God loves His Son? He said, I want you them to know that that's exactly the way you love Him. Like I told you, you can't describe it in human terms. Alright, let me go back over here and I'll tell you what. Tell you something else about His love that make the Christ love towards us so glorious. Is His love towards us is free. Now what do I mean by that? I mean there's no price tag to it. And if there was, you couldn't pay it. You couldn't pay it. Hosea 14:4 says, I will love them freely. We're justified freely by the grace of God. Now, when we're talking about free, that's exactly what we mean. There's no price tag on it. And this is a stumbling block to a multitude of people in this world. It's because while they stumble over the Lord Jesus Christ, they feel like they have to earn His love, have to earn His merit, have to earn His blessing. But beloved, there's no way in the world you could ever earn or merit anything from God Himself and the love of God. What could you do to cause God to love you? What could you possibly do? And I tell you, when we have a problem with this, and this is the thing about it. We have problems with this because this is the way we are by nature. That when we do good, we feel good. When we do bad, we feel bad. And we spent years of our lives trying to make peace with God, trying to get God to love us, trying to merit some blessing from God by doing something. If I pray enough, God will bless me and God will give me something. But beloved, if He loves us, He loves us because He would do it. What could He find in me? What could He find in you to make Him to love you? What could He see in you or me to say, I'm going to love them? I was shaken in iniquity. I was conceived in sin. I started lying from my mother's womb. I grew up to be a God hater, a Christ rejecter. Took the Lord's name in vain more times than I could possibly count. And while I was like this, God loved me, and He loves me now, and He loves me freely. I've never, ever said or done anything to cause God to love me. I've done 10,000 times 10,000 things that would have He didn't love me freely and said, I'm going to stop loving Him. But it can't be done. Riley, be still. And all beloved, we have problems with this. When we feel good, when we do good, we feel good. We feel like we're doing our duty. But bless God for His free love, for His free grace, and everything we have freely received. And let me tell you something. The whole premise of today's preaching, today's religion, is to make people feel guilty that they're not doing enough. Not doing enough. Now, I could have took this same message and made you feel guilty and turned it around and said, how much do you love the Lord? And I could have started preaching on how much we ought to love Christ and how pure our love ought to be and how dedicated we ought to be and how committed we are. And I could have done that and turned it on you. But that wouldn't have made us love Him anymore. It wouldn't have made Him love us anymore. He loves us freely. Freely. Oh. And let me tell you something else about His love that makes it so glorious. Is His love is faultless. Now what do I mean by that? That it's not demanding on our part. Now we're not that way in this world. I don't care how much we love somebody. Our love is not faultless. Well, I mean, you know, we can get upset with one another. We find fault with one another. But you cannot find fault with the love of God in Christ. You cannot do it. You see, it's love itself that came and won our hearts to Him. His love came and won us to Himself. He won our heart. He won our affection. He wins our obedience by love. Faith works by what? By love. And you see, His love is faultless. And you know, and what I mean by that is that you find, Mary can find fault with my love and she can find fault with hers. We're not perfect. Our love toward her, any one of us, is not perfect. But His love is. You can't fault it. And when our Master, when our Lord Jesus Christ chastens us, and He will chasten us, there's no fault about it. There's no complaint about it. We used to get angry, especially when we was young. We'd get angry and we'd whip our children when we was angry. And as we get older, we realize that there's a different ways of chastening children, to discipline them. That all you got to do is just, if you start training them right, you just say the word. You say, you can't go here. You can't do that. You don't have to lay a hand on them. And you discipline them and instruct them and say, this is not good for you and this is what I want. Well, God does us that way. He chastens us. What father chastens not his son whom he loves? And if he chastens not, then He don't love Him. And God chastens us. He scourges us. And He does it in such a way that we can't find any fault. We can't complain about it. And there's one thing that I love about it. He does it to us individually and nobody knows that the other one's getting a chastisement. Nobody else knows that they're getting scourged. Now, when you whip one of your children, everybody in the house knows it. But when God whips us and chastens us, nobody else knows it. Nobody else knows what's going on. And He never chastens us in anger. And He loves us so much. This is what I'm saying is He loves us so much that He says, I'm going to conform you to the image of my Son, and whatever it takes, and He decreed from eternity what it would take to conform us to the image of His Son, and everything it takes to do that, He's going to keep on doing it until one day we wake up just like His Son. Ain't that right? And that's, I never will forget, years and years and years ago, I went down to North Carolina and my grandmother had died, and I walked in the living room. And when I walked in that living room down there, everybody in that room says, "Boy, it's just like your dad walked into this room," he said. They said, "It's just like your dad walked into this room." Because my dad looks so much like, just like he walked. But listen, one of these days I'm going to walk into glory and God say, "There he is, that's the image of my Son." Oh my, search the love of Christ, examine it, and you can't fault it. And people find fault with God's love because if something goes wrong in their life, they won't say, "Well, if God loved me, wouldn't let this happen. If God loved me, wouldn't let that happen." Well, listen, beloved, God loves His Son. You know what He did to Him, don't you? And you know why He did it to Him? Because He loved us so much. And why did Christ voluntarily go to that cross and bear our sins in His own body on the tree? As Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And beloved, as Christ lifted up on that cross, why was He lifted up? Because He loved us. And He gave Himself. God gave Him, and He gave Himself to the smiters. He gave His back to the smiters, His cheek to those who plucked off His beard. He gave Himself up to His Father's wrath and justice. Oh my, that's why, beloved, oh, bless His holy name. And let me tell you something else about this love that's so precious, so pure, is that His love is discriminating. His love is discriminating. Now, you know, people make so much about discrimination. Oh, you can't discriminate this, you can't discriminate. Everybody's trying to get it right. But let me tell you something. God is not discriminating in His love. You know, not like people think discrimination is. We're equal opportunity employers. If they're too old, you can't fire them for that. If they're too young, you can't fire them for that. You can't do anything. You know, everybody's got their little ditch. Well, listen. When we talk about discrimination, God discriminates in His love. Not like men think of discrimination. He is no respecter. I've heard this all my life. God's no respecter of person. When we start talking about His electing grace and He loving His people, they say, "Boy, I tell you what, your God's a respecter of persons." He's no respecter of persons. And you look over in Romans 9 with me in chapter verse 11, and I'll show you just exactly what I mean here. And I'll explain this to you. So Scott said, "I'll explain it to you." You know, God is no respecter of persons. He don't care what your color is. He has no care what color you are. You can be a Chinese, you can be black, you can be white, you can be yellow, you can be... He don't care what color you are. He don't care what age you are. He does not care how old you are, how young you are. Your age has absolutely nothing to do with it. He don't care what sex you are. Male, female, He don't care. That has absolutely nothing to do with it. And I'll tell you something else. He don't care about your abilities. You ain't going to have to fill out what do they call those things? I got one the other day. Application. You ain't going to have to fill no application out. You know, you don't have to fill out. I meet these requirements. Got no application to fill out. No, He don't care about your abilities. In fact, He lets you understand you ain't got any abilities. Nicodemus said, "How can a man be born when he's old?" Our Lord says, "You can't see the kingdom of God. You're so blind you can't see Christ before you. You're so blind you can't see His kingdom. You're so blind you can't see His power. You're so blind that you say, 'Oh, I went on the second time into my mother's womb.' That's as blind as you are." Oh my, and your race? Race don't have nothing to do with it. And your creed. Oh boy, I've got all my I's dotted, all my T's crossed. Ah, listen, I believe in the 49, you know, the Westminster Confession, and we're the Reformed Free to this, and we got the Heidelberg, and we got this confession. Listen, the creed doesn't matter. None of these things move him. Look what it said here in Romans chapter 9 and verse 11, talking about the love of God and the love of Christ not discriminating. Look what he says in verse 11, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, they hadn't done anything right, they hadn't done anything wrong yet, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. Now listen to it. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And the first thing people say is, that ain't fair. Paul says, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he says to Moses, I'll have mercy on him, I'll have mercy. I don't care who you are. If I will to have mercy on you, you're going to have mercy. If I will to have compassion on you, I'm going to have compassion on you. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you are. I don't care what country, creed, color, race, sex, nothing of that moves me. I'll do it because I'll do it. Ain't that right? And I'll tell you what, let me tell you something about his love. In this way, his love is towards the helpless. His love is toward the hopeless. His love is toward the sick and the diseased, the corrupt. And he calls them worms. He said, oh, Jacob, thou worm. You mean Jacob the worm? God said, I loved you. Oh, thou worm, Jacob, I've loved you. How long have you loved this worm, Jacob? From everlasting to everlasting. Wretches. Dogs. Sinners. When we, without strength, in due time, Christ died for who? The ungodly. And God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet, what? Sinners. Christ died for us. Oh my. Let me tell you something, beloved. It's like Hosea's wife, Gomer. I need to preach on that here. I ain't preached on it in years and years. But Hosea, God says, you go and you take a wife. Took Gomer to be his wife. Well, Gomer started going up and she became a harlot. She started going with this man for a while and go with that man for a while. Live with this fellow for a while. And all the time she was doing that, Hosea would take and sit outside her door. He'd take some food and sit outside her door. Take some wine and sit outside her door. And she'd get up and say, look what my lover's left me. And it was Hosea doing it all the time. And she got old and she got decrepit and she got used up. And they put her on the auction block. Go sell her. What do you take for this old woman here? This old harlot. This woman. And Hosea said, I'll take her. I want her. She's mine. And guess what? I'm going to love her freely. And he took her home with him. That's what Christ did for us. Old and used and played the harlot all the days of our life. And all the time we was doing that, God set our food by our door. God set our drink by our door. And we said, we did this. And our lover done this. The world done this. But God said, I did it. Oh, my. It's like that Samaritan woman at the well. Go call your husband. I don't have a husband. What? Oh, she said, our Lord said, you know, you told the truth. Said, you've had five of them. You've had five of them. And the one you're with right now, he's not yours. She said, oh, Lord.
Oh Lord, you know me. How'd you know all that? You're a prophet.
And she throwed her water pot and went running telling everybody, come see a man. Come see a man. Oh, beloved. Ah, Bartimaeus, blind and poor and begging. Bartimaeus, the Master calls you. He calls you. Throw away that old garment. Throw away that old rag. What do you want from me? I want to see. I want to see. I want to see. Oh, do you want to see? Oh, in fact, it's because of His love for sinners that He makes them know what they are. It's when His love's manifested, and that's when we find out what we are. That's when we find out what we are. Let me tell you this real quickly. His love is faithful. Faithful. Unchanging. He said in Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, and I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob, you're not consumed. You see, you and I, we're faithful sometimes to those who are faithful to us. We love those who love us, or those we love. And I'm gonna say something right here. I believe this with all my heart, talking about love. Suppose you had a spouse, and that spouse was unfaithful to you, and you're a believer. You're a believer. And they came back to you. And they said, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. If you have the love of Christ in your heart, and you know God, you'll do it, and you'll do it with joy, and you'll do it with thanksgiving, and you won't hold it against them. I believe that with all my heart. This idea that believers can go out here and get divorced, and one of them attend another church, and one attend a church here and that and there. No, 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 no. There's nothing, nothing shall be able to separate a husband and a wife if a man knows Christ. Unless they just decide, I don't want to live with you anymore. I believe that. I believe that. Don't you all believe that? That's what we're talking about, faithful, unchanging love. Our Lord didn't say, set a condition on how you forgive. How many times? Then you talked about that other day. Forgive. How often? I was about to preach last Sunday morning. Anybody here need forgiveness? How often should I forgive, Lord? 70 times 7. Every time you think you've forgiven up, 7 more times. How many more? 7 more times. You know, our Lord forgives us. In fact, He don't even hold anything against us, period. He doesn't forgive us of everything. His love is so faithful. Our Master, when our mothers and fathers forsake us, and they do. My mother and father both forsook me when I was just a little boy. Not just a little bitty feller. Forsook me and my little brother. I went for years when I was a little bitty feller. Never saw my daddy. But the Lord, because I tell you, He takes us up. He says, they'll forsake you, but I'll never forsake you. I'll take you up. You don't care where you go. I don't care what you do. I'm going to love you with an everlasting love, and I won't forsake you. Let your mother go. I'll be your mama. Let your father go. I'll be your father. Let your wife go. I'll be your wife. Let your husband go. I'll be your husband. That's what He's talking about. Faithful. Oh, beloved, that's why He says, what shall separate us? Who shall tribulation, persecution, famine, naked, peril, sword? No! We're persuaded that neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, or things today, or things tomorrow, shall separate us from the love of God that God gave us in Christ, His blessed Son. Oh, let me tell you something. You search God's Word and find me one place where God ever quit loving one of His children. You find me in the history of the church where God ever quit loving one of his children. Huh? In fact, you find where he ever failed to be faithful to one of them. He'd been faithful. Faithful to love them. Faithful to keep them. Faithful to preserve them. Faithful to teach them. Faithful to save them. Faithful to keep them. And if there was, you look at the scriptures, if there was people that deserved, and that's why I say, that's why this business of the love of God, if anybody needed, felt, deserved to be not loved, when Abraham went down into Egypt, he said, please don't tell them you're my wife because they'll take you away from me and kill me. I don't care if they have you just as long as I don't get hurt. When Lot took his family and moved into Sodom, God could have cut him off right there and said, I'm going to let you go with the rest of the Sodomites. When Simon Peter stood and bragged and boasted and said, I'll go with you to prison, I'll even go with you to death. And our Lord looked at it and said it in the sweetest, kindest tone. He said, Simon. And I'm sure he spoke in the sweetest, kindest words, Simon, before the rooster crows in the morning, you'll deny me three times. Three times. And then you know what he said after his resurrection? He said, you go tell Simon and the brethren. Mrs. Simon Peter said, you go tell Simon Peter. Told Mary to tell him. You go tell Simon Peter and the brethren that I'll go before them and meet them in Galilee. I want Peter especially to know. Oh, I want Peter to know. And oh, and how many times have he said, I want Donnie to know, I want you to know that I loved him. And that I, you know, I hold nothing against you. And bless God, let me tell you this. Bless God that our love towards him doesn't affect his love towards us. Ain't you grateful for that? People talk about unconditional love all the time. You've got to love unconditionally. We don't know nothing about unconditional love. We do not know nothing about that. I'm telling you, we don't. We do not. I mean, I love my children because they're mine. Conditioned on them being mine. I don't love yours as much as I love mine. We do not know nothing about unconditional love. But God's love towards us is absolutely unconditional. He has no conditions on it. He will not leave us. He will not fail us. He will not forsake us. He will not stop. His love does not depend on us in any way, shape, form, or fashion. If you sin, does that make him quit loving us? If you do something good, does that make him love us more? No, his love is constant, continual, always the same. Our love's here and younger and down and round and over and out and this and that and everywhere and all over. But his love is not that way. Bless his holy name. If there's a reason to quit loving somebody, he'd have quit loving me years and years and years ago. But oh, I'm going to tell you something else about his love. It's fruitful. What I mean by that, I mean it's effectual. Now, we have children. We have children that we love, and we would do anything in this sun to change them. To change them. Change them from the life they're living. Change them from the things they're doing. Change them and make them love us more and want to come around and see us more and have a more family, close family relationship. And yet, no matter how much we love them, we can't change them. And we cannot make anybody love us. We can't make our children stop doing this self-destructive thing you're doing. I love you. Please don't do that. And they do it anyway. And sometimes because of our love for someone, we want to do something for them and we're unable to do it. When Briley was sick, oh, the love that you all have for Briley. What could you do but just sit there and pray, God have mercy.
Don't let us, if you please, don't lose this baby. We're absolutely helpless when it comes to making our love faithful, effectual, and fruitful. You can beg a woman, don't leave me, she leaves anyway. Beg a husband, don't leave me, but they leave anyway. Don't go out there and do that, but they go anyway. Don't take your drugs, but they take them anyway. Don't, oh my. And oh, there's so much that we're unable to do for people that we love. But beloved, God's not that way. When He intends to love us, you know what He's going to do? He's going to get in our hearts. And He's going to stir, and He's going to stir, and He's going to stir. And you know what He's going to do? He said, I'm going to make you love me. Why do we love Him? Because He first loved us. He refused to let His love be in vain. And you know what He did to win us to Himself? Look over in Luke chapter 15. Let me show you this real quick. You know, look what His love endured to win us. His love endured coming into this world. His love endured Him emptying Himself. His love endured the contradiction of sinners to Himself. But look what He said here. Luke 15. Then drew near unto Him all the publicans and sinners for to hear Him. Oh, look what kind of crowd come around. Publicans and sinners. People like us. People like us. And the Pharisees and the scribes, they murmured, say, this man receiveth sinners. And he not only that, but he eats with them. Oh, we're saying he's eating with sinners today. Sitting with sinners today. Is he sitting eating with you? And look what happens now. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost? And when he hath found it, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. And beloved, where does he go looking for him? He says he went into the wilderness. He went into a far country. He had to come where we are. He had to take flesh to himself, human nature to himself. And he come into this world, and he walked among us, lived among us, and became one with us. And even so much so that he bore our sin in his own body on that tree. And beloved, there was lost sheep. He said, I'm going to go out wherever they are, and I'm going to get them. And then when he brings them in, and that's why whenever somebody confesses faith in Christ, we all begin to rejoice and weep and have great. Because why? Christ our Lord says, look here, brought one of the sheep home. Lord, bless you, Lord. We praise you for bringing another sheep into the fold. Ah, maybe somebody will do that here real soon. And let me show you, beloved. Let me show you the history. And I tell you, I'm taking too long, but I can't help myself. This is just setting my... Oh, thank God for the love of God. God's so love. True love. Genuine love. And oh, look what His love for Lazarus caused Him to do. Here in John 11 and verse 3. Now our Lord was way... He was over in... Way, way long from Bethany. And Lazarus got sick. And it says there in verse 3, therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, or watch this, whom he whom thou lovest is sick. They knew he loved Lazarus. He whom you love, he's sick. We know he loved him. And look what happens here in verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, Christ come back now. He came back over to Bethany, saying unto him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping with which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And they said unto them, where have you laid him?
And they said, Lord, come and see. Then look in verse 35. Jesus wept. Then look at the next verse. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And beloved, look what happens down there in verse 43. And when he had thus said with spoken, when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth, and he that was dead came forth. And beloved, that's what the love of Christ does. When he loves one of his, he even death cannot bar him from coming and expressing that love. Now, death can't keep him from loving you. If it did, he would have loved any of us. But death couldn't even keep him from loving you. Huh? And oh, beloved, I tell you what, he doesn't knock at our heart's door like that right there. He comes in and he kicks the door open and he sends the throne of the heart and sits down. And because the dead hear the voice of their beloved and they come out of there. And his love is so powerful and so effectual that it'll bring us to his eternal glory and power, and we'll be spend forever with him. For in the ages to come, he's going to show us the exceeding riches of his kindness and grace towards us. And then back over in our text, John 3, and I'll be done. Oh, look what it says there in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Gave his only begotten Son. His love was sacrificial. So sacrificial. He said he gave. He gave. God gave. And then our Lord Jesus Christ gave. He emptied himself. We can't really grasp the sacrifice that our Lord made. We can't grasp the humiliation that he endured. The shame that he was subjected to. But I thank God I don't have to grasp it. I don't have to understand it fully. But I do know what I do understand of it. And what I do believe of it. I'm thankful for it. Because it makes my heart leap for joy. That our Lord Jesus Christ creates in me a greater love for him. That he loved me so. That he gave himself. And beloved, we know to some degree how much God must have loved sinners. That he gave his only Son. We know how much our Lord must have loved us. Because look at the price he paid. He gave himself. He gave himself. He gave himself. There was a Princess Anne in England. She had a daughter. 4-year-old daughter. Back in the dark ages when the plague hit Europe. Multitudes dying. Multitudes and multitudes. Millions dying. For her little 4-year-old girl. For she's the princess now. Her mother's the queen. Her father's the king. She got a 4-year-old baby. And the baby's got the plague. And those physicians told her, says, whatever you do, she sat with her, cared for her, washed her, loved her, devoted to her, committed to her. And she'd wipe her brow. She said, whatever you do, don't you kiss that child. Don't you get close to her lips. Because the plague will kill you. That little baby lay there dying, going to die. Mouth dry. Weak. And she began to whisper, Mother, oh Mother, kiss me. Mother, please kiss me. Now what do you think that woman's going to do? She reached down there, got that baby's head in her hand, kissed her, began to kiss her. Knowing that it was her own death that she had died to. Well, that's what our Lord Jesus Christ did to us. He took us into his arms and kissed us. And by kissing us, he had to die. Took all of our plague, all of our corruption, all of our filthiness, all of our death, and took it to himself. And he died. And now we live. His kiss healed us, and him kissing us caused his death. God so loved. Now I believe that's true love, genuine love, blessed love, don't you? Our blessed, gracious God in heaven, how wondrously, wondrously, wondrously blessed you are. Our Father, our hearts is overwhelmed with you today for the truths that we dealt with, for the blessed love of God. Oh, thank you for it. And I pray that your love would be manifested in us, and our love for you would be manifested and expressed. And, oh Lord, create in us a greater love for you, greater love for one another, because you said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, because you'll have love one toward another. And let us not love in word only, but in deed and in truth. So, Father, thank you. Lord, save you, people. Oh, God, may this message, may it bring forth fruit to your glory. Is this the time that some dead soul, some dead one whom you loved, heard your voice today and they lived? Did they live today? I pray so. In Christ's name, amen.